This is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast, Fisherman and Tom. I am Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price. With me, as always, is Tom. How are you today, Tom?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. Recording on another Saturday morning. The 2024 tour is well in motion, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. The last time we met was the day after the Vegas show that I went to, and I'm still riding a bit of a buzz from that. I know I talked about this a little bit on my pre-show on the concert channel, but my daughter's ex, her like lifelong friend from her high school boyfriend, works local load in and load out for venues all over town here in Vegas. And he got to work Springsteen, and they gave everybody on the crew a local crew shirt. Rather, it probably made it easier to spot who's supposed to be there than laminates or whatever. They give them a shirt, and they obviously have plenty of shirts left over from 2023 because of all the canceled shows. So they're still 2023 local tour crew shirts. And he gave that to Sierra after the show. So she got a cool bit of rare, hard to find, must work for a specific aspect of concert building to get tour shirt. Anyway, since that show, since Vegas, there's been a couple shows. He's played San Diego and Night One in San Francisco, and I think we should get right to the set list for those shows, because unlike 2023, there's been a bit to talk about in the set list world.
Yeah, he soundchecked two songs on the first night in California, Lucky Town and Jackson Cage, but he didn't play them. Those would have been real good. But unfortunately, we only got My City of Ruins.
He did soundcheck Lucky Town and Jackson Cage and My City of Ruins. Now, we weren't at these shows. We're probably not going to be at any of these upcoming shows. But these are clues of what might be to come. And we're going to be listening to the nugs and watching the videos. So, you know, the fact that he didn't play them that night, only really important to the people in San Diego. And they got a hell of a show. They got one tour premiere. But they got a lot of songs that were not played every night of this tour. A few that have not been played every night, but that are starting to get more and more play. So we'll take a look. The opening of Lonesome Day, that started to happen more and more since, I think might go back to Europe, or is it just go back to the stadiums of the U.S.? They were coming out and they were playing Lonesome Day Night and Lonesome Day Alone, but Lonesome Day Night was a few, like, I think all three Jersey shows in a row was Lonesome Day Night. And so Lonesome Day, Prove It All Night, No Surrender. And then Death to My Hometown, which has only been played a couple, maybe only one time. Ghosts, Letter to You, Promised Land. And then My City of Ruins was a tour premiere. That was in the soundtrack. And that was a tour premiere. Spirit in the Night, which is starting to get played every night. I saw it in Vegas. I think he played it in Phoenix. And it was played in Jersey at the end of 2023. And I think that's where it premiered. I think it premiered in Jersey, and he's played it every night since. He's like, oh, you know what? I forgot we should be playing Spirit in the Night every night. He's played it every night since the first time. And then Don't Play That Song is not, it hasn't been back every night. I don't think it was on one of the shows, but it's been back pretty much most of the shows since they've come back. And then so that back-to-back Don't Play That Song night shift, Mary's Place is a new staple. Last Man Standing, Backstreets is been in every single show, except the first one. Tampa had Last Man Standing, something in between, and then Backstreets. And I can't remember what it was in between. House of a Thousand Guitars. Check that out for us. Let us know in the comments if he played House of a Thousand Guitars in between Last Man Standing and Backstreets in Tampa on opening night. Because tonight she's the one wrecking ball. See, here's where we go. Like pretty much from Last Man Standing, Backstreets, the show remains the same, except some towns have gotten a wild card. It looks like San Diego got two wild cards. So maybe there will be some mix-em-ups in the encores. But basically, from here on out, Last Man Standing, Backstreets, Because Tonight, She's the One, Wrecking Ball, The Rising, Badlands, Thunder Road. That has been every night this tour, just like that. Then they got a Detroit medley as the first encore song. Thunder Road used to be the first encore song. Badlands would close the show. But then he kind of moved Thunder Road to the end of the main set before the bow, and then Born to Run to open the encore. But Detroit medley stuck in there, and that looks like it's going to be a wild card spot. That's where Viva Las Vegas was. That's where Detroit medley is. And so there's always a good shot for a start of the encore wild card spot. And then Born to Run, Rosie, Bobby Jean after Rosie, before Dancing in the Dark, and no Glory Days.
Right. No Glory Days the next night too, which is nice. He's dropped that. And I like Bobby Jean. I mean, I like that. If that's replacing Glory Days, that's not bad.
Well, we haven't seen or heard these shows yet, but I really am interested to hear. They just don't do. I'm. We're, I don't want to go home. Steve, I think it's time to go home.
Yeah,
I don't want to go home. I think they've just left that out on those nights because that is part of Glory Days, and I don't think they just worked it in somewhere else. And that's major shtick. I know you're often happy when they drop major shtick, but I wonder when they drop major shtick if that's permanent or if it was just that night. We're not gonna do Nobody Wants to Go Home.
Yeah. So there's a few, I'm sure you've noticed there's a few songs that are completely dropped.
Well, I know
Like,
that East Street Shuffle is gone and Kitty's Back is gone since 2024 began. I know my daughter, who loves the Wild and the Innocent album more than anything than any other album, was disappointed. She got to see it in Detroit, but she was disappointed to know that those were the songs that they dropped, the primary songs that she knew. Other than that, yeah, Johnny 99 seems to be gone. I mean, I'll give you a chance to fill in the blanks. I'm going by memory.
When you get to the next set list, there's more to talk about there.
Of what
But
came in or what is gone?
what's gone?
What else
So,
is gone?
well, so you mentioned Mary's Place. Mary's Place is dropped on the last show
From
that they
San
performed.
Fran? All right. Well, we're going to come back and talk about what he did in between these shows in Brooklyn. We'll come back to that. But in San Fran, the set list, they've
It's actually
soundchecked.
a good set list. Just nothing, no tour premieres, but very rare songs that maybe he played only once before.
Tons of rare songs and no tour premieres. Soundchecked again, Land of Hope and Dreams. I'm on Fire got soundchecked. Lonesome Day. And Atlantic City. And then they open the show with Something in the Night and then Lonesome Day, which he's getting good and ready for Maddie to make sure he's perfect when he gets to Canada so he can play Maddie Lonesome Day every show. Ghosts, Two Hearts, and that has made a couple of appearances or maybe only one. Prove It All
Yeah, I
Night,
think
No Surrender. What? No, Two Hearts.
yeah, a few, I think.
Prove It All Night, No Surrender. Atlantic City, that had a few at the end. I think he played it in Jersey a couple times, and there might have been one. I know he played it in Cleveland, was the tour premiere of Atlantic City. Very rare on this tour. Death to My Hometown, I think, was only played one time before. Letter to You, Promised Land, Hungry Heart. I caught that in Vegas, but that's been very rare this tour, maybe four or five of them. Spirit in the Night, that's here every night. Night Shift Racing, which I also caught in Vegas. I think this was the third. I think I saw the second. Maybe I saw the third, but I think I saw the second racing, and that this would be the third. Last Man Standing, here we go. Last Man Standing, Backstreets, Because of the Night, She's the One, Wrecking Ball, The Rising, Badlands, Thunder Road, and then Land of Hope and Dreams, which came earlier in the set in San Diego, and they had Detroit Medley in this spot. Born to Run, Rosie, Bobby Jean coming in two nights in a row in the same spot. That might not be a wild card spot. That might be a, we're going to do Bobby Jean instead of Glory Days. Here's a question. Do they do I Don't Want to Go Home in Bobby Jean? Steve?
Oh, man,
I think it's time
not.
To Let's go not... home. I think it's time to go home.
I hope he doesn't ruin Bobby Jean. I like it that it's played straight. You know, I like that.
I hope we'll know soon. We'll get that Nugs audio and we'll find out. Dancing in the Dark, 10th Avenue, yeah, Freeze Out. I'll See You in My Dreams. So what's missing here that wasn't missing in San Diego?
Well, Mary's Place, which I already said.
Mary's and Place. Just as, right after I said that looks like a new tour staple. Drops Mary's Place.
The other one that's noticeable is he dropped, Thank God, Don't Play That Song.
And Don't Play That Song seemed to be an audible in San Diego or Vegas. It was Vegas that it was like, he played it in Vegas, right?
I think he's played it. Yeah. The last, few, like since opening night, I think he's played it.
He played it in Vegas, right. And I'm pretty sure I just saw when I was dubbing GW's gorgeous screenshot, he said that was an audible. He called it out to the band. To play Don't Play That Song in Vegas. And that has made it, it made it to San Diego. But yeah, it got dropped here and just got, it's got some more fan favorites, I think. And we're starting to see more of that. You know, as soon as I finish, see my last show, we're going to talk a little bit later on about Tom and I's list of the 10 songs we think are missing from this tour that we'd like to see him break out. We will talk about that. But that, in a nutshell, are the two shows since the last time we got together. On a similar note, they've released two shows on Nugs since last we got together, and that was the Vegas show and the San Diego show. And I'm working on, like I just mentioned, a dub of George, our friend George Washington, brought his camera and took a screenshot of 92% of the show. And I am dubbing it with that Nugs audio, and it's just coming out so good. I shared Roll of the Dice with a lot of people yesterday. I know Tom got a chance to see it. I've watched it like a dozen times.
It was great. It's going to be, I can't wait for you to do this.
Yeah, the video's coming out very nice. 100% screen, well, 92% screenshot, and that gorgeous audio. Can't wait for people to see it. So lots of other things in the news. And the first thing is we kind of gave a mention. I'll go back to Bruce Bass here. In between San Francisco, between San Diego and San Francisco, Bruce showed up. I've never heard of this guy. Have you heard of this guy, Zach Bryan?
No.
Nah, I never heard of him, but I guess he's a country singer. And country singers.
Why.
Well, they're embracing Bruce now. You got, do you know that song Springsteen by what's his name, is like 20 years old already? It's like 12 years old. I don't know what it is. It's really a lot older than I thought. Time goes by so damn fast. Eric something. Anyway, so yeah, Zach Bryan comes out on his stage for his show in a 2000 reunion tour t-shirt. And then for the encore, he brings out Bruce Springsteen to play with him. And they play two songs and they're both Zach Bryan songs. So,
Yeah, they did Sandpaper and Revival.
When he goes with the Killers, he does a Killer song and then a Bruce song. And when he gets up there with Coldplay, he does a Coldplay song and then a Bruce song. With Zach Bryan, he went up there and played two Zach Bryan songs. I haven't even looked at him yet, but I will. I should check him out, right? I should check him out. I should have watched him before. Did you watch him?
I tried. Yeah, I watched the one video that they put up, but I don't know which song it was. And yeah, it sounds like country. I guess he's very popular, you know, but I've never... It's not my, I'm not into country music, so.
Well, the songs are called Sandpaper and Revival. And I don't know, on the original typed up set list, they're separated, but I think they played them back to back. He just came out the one time and played those two songs. I'll have to take a look at that. I haven't looked at it yet, but there was a lot. I saw a lot of talk on social media about how Bruce flew all the way back east to make this guest appearance. And my first thought was he made the guest appearance and he flew back east, but there's nothing that tells me that he flew back east in order to make this guest appearance. He might have just, you know, while I'm here, I can go and join Zach Bryan, because I'm sure he had something else to do on the East Coast that he flew all the way back and not at guest spot. And then you found an article that confirms that, right?
Yeah, it didn't list the reason, but it said that was not the main reason that Bruce flew back to New York. So
that's what I would think. I can't believe so many people are like, he flew all the way back just to guest star with Zach Bryan. I was like, I don't believe that, man. He's got to go for an ultrasound for his ulcers or something. Whatever it is, it was not. Hey, you want to play two songs with Zach Bryan? Yeah, I'd love to. All right, you have to fly to New York, get on stage, play two, and then fly back to San Francisco 2 days later. So it was the day after San Diego, right? The day after San Diego.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think Bruce is, that's probably why Bruce has put that, a long time ago, put that country voice on, you know, when he sings, because then he'll get a country audience to listen to his music. You know, that's my theory. A lot of these artists do that. These pop artists will put out a country album now, like Beyonce is putting a country album out.
And Bruce has a wide love of music. I mean, he likes rap and country and classical. He's working orchestras. The man has a wide... Where I listen to three bands. My listening to music is so narrow that I have thousands of recordings of three bands. But Bruce has, you know, he loves it all. That's why his show From My Home to Yours is so great, because, you know, he opens up his great knowledge of so much different stuff. All right. So what else we got on today's agenda? Jeremy Allen White.
Yes.
So I know you read, we've talked in the past that there's been rumor talk that they might make a movie about the making of Nebraska. And we speculated that if they're going to make a movie, especially with the timing, it's probably based on this Warren Zanes book, because that's written kind of like a narrative, to my understanding, and would possibly inspire somebody to want to make a movie. And so we heard that as rumor, but then all of a sudden this week we found out the name of the producer involved, and he used to run Netflix.
And, yeah, he's a writer-director, Scott Cooper.
And they're in talks with Jeremy Allen White, who played Lip for 11 years on Shameless, and now is on The Bear, which just swept the Emmys. Like, it won best show, and he won best actor, and it won best of this and best of that. I'm a huge fan of Shameless. I watched The Bear. I don't understand why it won so much. It's like, I don't dislike it. I just don't understand why everybody loves it so much. It's a lot of looking at people making fancy food. And I know Food Channel shows are real popular, and I don't watch those at all. So maybe that is what really connects people. It's about a sandwich shop, low-end Chicago restaurant called Beef that the brother of these brothers who owned it passes away and leaves it to his younger brother, who's like a trained world renowned. Well, he's not world renowned. No one, like, I haven't really figured out if people have heard of him or not. There's been two seasons, but he's trained under some famous chefs, and he was working in some of the higher quality restaurants in the world. And he takes over this place, and he's trying to turn it into a high-end luxury restaurant. And family relationships had one. I think it had one really great episode where it had a million guest stars, including Bob Odenkirk and John Mulaney, and then the one from Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis. All right.
Yeah, well, he's won two Golden Globes for this show, The Bear. I've seen some pictures of the guy, and he does look like Bruce, a young Bruce, in many of these pictures. So they could definitely pull it off, and
he's a great actor. He was just on. He was just in a movie about wrestlers, The Iron Claw. If you saw that.
So there's yeah. As far as the movie, we could see this movie maybe if things go well, maybe in a year from now, I would think, after once they get it all going. But because these things take a while.
But in they've my got. Head. In my head, it's just him sitting around a little house in Colts Neck or a little barn and just playing these songs into a tape recorder. But I haven't read the book. There might be some more in the book.
That's the thing. If it's directly from the book, which it says it is, if they're going to take everything from the book and try to squeeze it into this movie, they're in this book, it covers the Electric Nebraska sessions. So that would be very cool if we finally got to hear that. Now, the thing is this actor going to be singing, or is it going to be Bruce's voice dubbed in? So we don't know. Are we going to hear actual Bruce music?
I can't imagine they're going to do Electric Nebraska sessions where they get actors to play Steve and Roy and Max. Think they're going to try to cast people to play all them?
I don't know. I don't know how they would do that. But John Landau and Bruce are involved in it. So, well, at least they don't have to worry about copyright and so forth. Yeah.
And they don't have to worry about who plays John Landau, but you got to worry about who plays Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah. Maybe Steve can play him himself. He's lost all that weight. So
you just got to suspend disbelief, like Better Call Saul. It takes place before, but everybody's a lot older.
You and I could play the roles.
I think, yeah, for sure. You'll be Bruce, and I'll be Steve.
Yeah, I'll be this guy's stunt double, whatever his name is here.
Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the news. That's, we're going to see that movie. That's the news. We're going to move right into some of Tom's famous lists. And the first one is by request. We had a viewer request a specific type of list from Tom, and he said, I am all over that. And I think it's a good one. I'm going to give my own on the fly with very little thought. But first, here's Tom's. Let me see if I got this right. Your top 10 songs that have not been played on the 2023-2024 tours that we should want to see tomorrow night in San Francisco.
Yes, and this was requested by one of our viewers, Knights of Ben, who we've mentioned before.
Yes, we have.
I don't know his real name, but if that's his name.
I'm guessing that his name is Ben.
Could be, yeah, or Knight. Maybe he's Michael Knight.
Probably not a Knight. He's probably Ben. He might enjoy a good game of Dungeons and Dragons or something like that.
Yeah, he may be English. I'm not sure. So, I'll go with number 10, Tucson Train. I think that would be great. I know we're not going to sit here and talk about each song.
No, we shouldn't talk about each one. Let's, because you're going to do your 10 and I'll do my 10. See if there's any overlap.
Thing. One thing on Tucson Train, you know, just to mention, Steve Van Zandt and his band did this song and it was great. I'm sure you've seen it. So I mean, it would be great with the E Street Band, I think. So, nine, I'll Stand By You Always.
We are not going to see that song with the band on this tour. No way.
Maybe an acoustic arrangement?
Maybe if he goes on a smaller tour.
Well, I mean, he does I'll See You In My Dreams. I mean, why not throw this in there? You know, same kind of...
I mean, he's got those two spots that slow down. I think they're deliberate and they're not going anywhere. And I don't think there's going to be another one. I think that I haven't heard the third Racing in the Street, but I think the Racing in the Street kind of falls. I was there for one and I was crying, but I think that the mood in the room was kind of like, hey, let's go get that beer.
Yeah. Okay. I'll list them real quick so you can get to yours, but The Brokenhearted, Brothers Under the Bridges, 83. Party Lights, Protection, Rainmaker, Song for Orphans, Power of Prayer, Genie Needs a Shooter.
All right. All the missing Letter to You songs.
There are a couple of bonus ones that I listed, but he's done them possibly once or twice, but dropped them from the set list. Like, obviously, Burning Train. If I Were the Priest, then we got
Thousand Guitars, House of a Thousand Guitars.
Yeah, a full band. I'll See You In My Dreams, you know, would be the best. My Lucky Day, None But the Brave, Further On Up the Road, Code of Silence. Just throwing them in as a bonus.
Local Hero.
Oh God, yeah.
Where's Better Days? He hasn't played Better Days.
Oh, that would be,
Human Touch. He played one Human Touch when Obama was there, right? Yes. All right. My 10 songs missing from the set list that I'd love to hear him break out. I kind of want a honorable mention, not part of my list, New York City Serenade, because I you always want to hear it. And then, but he played it every night in 2016, so it's okay that it's not there, you know. But Lost in the Flood, you know, give me a Lost in the Flood, you know, one. Let's have one to go with our couple of Racing in the Streets is and stuff. So give me a Lost in the Flood and a For You. Probably a Sandy. I wouldn't mind a Sandy. We haven't had a Sandy. We've had a lot of Wild and the Innocent, but we haven't had a Sandy. And of course, probably Power of Prayer, because we never had. I mean, I want 10 without anything. I want all the Letter to You songs that haven't been played because we don't. The only live ones we have are from the internet, the Jon Stewart thing that he did on the internet. I want a live or two. So let's just honor all the Letter to You songs. Don't count. Of course, we want to hear those. So I'm just through songs from before Letter to You. The two from Are You Keeping Track? Fuck 10. I'm not gonna worry about how many I list here.
I didn't give you a chance to write. You know to
right.
To...
I'm just going to go album by album. And of course, I'd like to hear him do, you know, he's done Jungle Land, but I'd like to hear him do a Meeting Across the River into Jungle Land. I don't think I'll cry if he doesn't. You know, it's cool when he does it, but I don't think I'll cry if he doesn't. And the whole Born to Run got a few treatments several years ago where they played the whole thing. That song, you know, I like that song almost as much as everybody else. Almost as much as everybody else. And The River got played so much in 2016, the whole thing. But you know, there's not a song that I wouldn't want to hear again. You know, I love the Maracas version of I Don't Want to Marry You from 2016. He doesn't have to do the whole intro, but I'd like to hear him play almost everything that he hasn't played from The River. Almost all of it, except Cadillac Ranch. I don't need to hear Cadillac Ranch.
Or Crush on You.
I love Crush on You. Give me one Crush on You. It's a blast. It's as much fun. You know, we got a ramrod this tour. We got one early on in Florida. Might be the only one. I'm not sure. There might be another one or two. I'm up to the river. Nebraska. He could play, you know, Breakout. He hasn't done a full album, Nebraska. He could break that out. That'd be really cool.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's never done full album, Nebraska. Born in the USA. There is not one song. Has he done Downbound Train this tour?
Not that I know of.
I'm on Fire. I think he did. It was definitely on the soundtrack recently, but he did it, yeah. I think, in 2023. I can't think of anything from that album that's been like noticeably missing. He hasn't done Cover Me. But I don't know if I'd be excited if he did it, but if he didn't do it, I wouldn't be like I am with Lost in the Flood. Where's Cover Me? Then
just quickly, what can you? Oh, I'm sorry if you're still going.
Go ahead. I'm going to move on to the next album, but go ahead.
And when you're done, what do you think he should drop that he's been doing? Like, you know, do you think he should drop No Surrender and replace it with something else?
Yes. You want me to do that?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Let's do that now because I could list 100,000 songs that he hasn't played yet.
Okay.
I could go on. I can't do a top 10. I could go on and on forever. But let's go back to the general set list. Lonesome Day's had its time. It doesn't need to keep getting played. All right. Here's the thing.
I agree. Man.
Prove It and Promised Land. Prove It and Promised Land. You can't argue that they don't belong as an everyday song, and they don't, you know, they don't define Bruce Springsteen like a lot of that album. That's true. But then again, Every Night. I'm a jam band fan where I understand he plays a set show that's rehearsed every night, and I'm his last defender of that. I would still in my heart love to see him come out like a jam band where he sits backstage and go, hey, what do you want to play tonight? And he just makes it all up, all of it. And you know, the Grateful Dead played Touch of Grey like a tenth of the time, not every night. And that was their biggest hit. They played Truckin' like very rarely. They played Casey Jones very rarely. The songs they're known for, they didn't play them. And, you know, the people who bought the tickets were fine. And when they did play them, they got really excited. But they didn't have a Born to Run that they played every single night. And Bruce has built up too many for a guy who goes to a lot of concerts. So I would certainly think about dropping Lonesome Day, Prove It, No Surrender, Death to My Hometown. I'm happy when it's there and I'm happy when it's gone. It's like, you know, Death to My Hometown. I'm glad we got to hear it many, many times. And I think we've heard it plenty of times. Ghosts and Letter to You. They should be there. We are not tired. It's really the Letter to You tour. And we are not yet tired of the Letter to You songs. So I would not cut.
So far, I completely agree with everything you're saying. So
really?
Keep going.
Even Promised Land, Improve It All Night. You dropped those.
Yeah, I'd replace them. You know, I love Darkness on the Edge of Town, which he just did. I mean, I love if he would drop Prove It All Night, you know, that or Adam Raised a Cane, or you know, you can just so many things you could replace them.
If Spirit was played often but not always, that would be great. True. We don't have to talk about the soul cover songs. See, we know both of our opinions on that. Mary's Place. I love Mary's Place. I think it's great in concert. I don't like giving anything the every night treatment, except Badlands and Born to Run and maybe Rosie are the three. And then the other Sticky Wicket is, you know, the big hits off of Born in the USA. He's got to play Dancing in the Dark. And that might be it. That might be the only one he has to play is Dancing in the Dark.
I think you skipped a few that.
Right. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back for sure. I just was talking about Born in the USA songs because those are what he has to play. He's got to play Dancing in the Dark. He's got to play Born to Run. He's got to play Badlands. He doesn't have to play Mary's Place. So Last Man Standing Backstreets, that should stay every night because they work together. He's put it together. It's the George C. song, Last Man Standing from the album. You know, that's really what this tour is about. So far, three of my four stay every nights are from the new album. Okay, Because the Night, I Never Need to Hear It Again. She's the One. What's that?
Out.
Get it out. She's the One. I don't need it. I understand everybody who's listening who's like, oh, She's the One, my favorite song. I've only heard it 80 times. I understand, but I've heard it like 90 times. So I'm ready to move She's the One. But I would keep it over Backstreets. I would keep it over Because the Night. I would keep it over Wrecking Ball. I would keep it over Promised Land, stuff like that. She's the One. It's from Born to Run. I would keep it over a lot of songs, but I would let it go. So Wrecking Ball's got to go. The Rising. We might not agree on this because I'm ready to let it go. I'm ready to let The Rising go.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that will never go. So we might as well not even talk about it.
I think it's been played every night since The Rising tour, including Broadway.
Yeah, maybe so not.
Did he play it every night? Did he play it every night on Devils and Dust?
I'd have to look at that, but it was played very often, if not every night. So it's not going anywhere. It's right up there with Born to Run, apparently.
And Badlands isn't going to go anywhere. And that's going to be there every night. Now, Thunder Road, I think he has a love-hate relationship with Thunder Road because it's there every night now. If you remember, it wasn't there in Tampa. He didn't play it the very first night. And I don't know if somebody said anything to him because it's been played every night since. But over the years, Thunder Road has been in and out, in and out. And I think at this point, he's come to the understanding that it's supposed to be in, that it's got to be. It's the people who have never seen him are all expecting to hear Thunder Road. And so he's playing Thunder Road. And I don't think nothing we say is going to get that changed. He's going to keep playing Thunder Road. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, you can't complain about Thunder Road.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm with you. I could lose it. And, but I feel like it's going to be in there most of the time. He used to do it, you know, in the past, sometimes acoustic by himself without the band. But either way, I'm kind of tired of it. I could lose it for a while.
I was leaving Shea Stadium in 2003 for the final show, and I hear this girl, and this was like maybe the best show I'd ever seen at that point in my life, maybe to this day. And this girl, she's screaming, "That was the worst show I've ever seen."
What?
I was like, what was that show missing that it was the worst show you've ever seen? That was like the greatest show I've ever seen. And she went, "Thunder Road." And I was like, he's played Thunder Road like a billion times. He's got to play Thunder Road to appease you. It's got to be the same show every night. And anyway, and she'd be happy now because Thunder Road is every night. But there was a time when Thunder Road was in, it was out. Born to Run is every night. So Born to Run, Rosie's been every night except Europe, where it's been no nights. It's every night in the U.S. and no nights in Europe. I think Rosie sat out one night in the U.S. right before they went to Europe. And then Dancing in the Dark, Glory Days, which we've seen dropped a couple times. I didn't think that would be dropped because of the I Don't Want to Go Home shtick. You know, he loves shtick, and this show is not filled with it. There's not a lot of shtick in this show. There's a little bit in Rosie, and there's a little bit in Glory Days, and that's it. I mean, there's not a lot of shtick. And he dropped Glory Days at least twice. This was the second time, I think. So 10th Avenue Freeze Out, and again, that's another one. I think he's played it every night, at least since Clarence has died, if not since the reunion tour. And I think that's going to be a staple that, you know, he wouldn't take out. I don't think I would either. I mean, it's one of the best parts of this show. You know, the band intros and then the whole thing that Bruce leading the band and
The intros. Oh, I didn't mention, I think you might have read this, but Bruce is up for some, you know, they've got all these awards constantly. They make up these awards and give them to Bruce. So hopefully he'll show up and receive it. And, you know,
when you get a photo, get a photo opportunity. I know he's had presidents pull that.
Yeah. So here we go with another one. It's called the Ivers Academy Fellowship Award. It's based in the UK. And I guess Bruce is like the first one, they're saying, first songwriter in the, maybe in the US that's
first international. I think they made the award for him. International song? I don't know. I glossed like, over it.
Because I guess the others that got it are like Elton John, Sting, Paul McCartney. So I guess they're not international because they're in the UK. I don't know. So
he wins my award for best whatever the fuck that was every single year, and they don't care. So why should I care when they win his award? When he wins their award.
Yeah.
I say that right? Okay.
Something. I think it made sense to me.
All right. We got one more quick list. And this is much darker than the songs we really want to hear this tour. This is Tom's top five songs about death.
Yeah, this was my sister Sue's suggestion. So here we go. Number five, You're Missing, Dead Man Walking, 1 Minute You're Here, I'll See You in My Dreams, Wreck on the Highway. Two outtakes, Last Carnival and Terry's Song.
Well, those are some really sad songs. But you know what? You know what? Sad songs, they say so much.
Speaking of Elton John.
All right. I think, aside from we want a promo, that next week we are going to start taking a look at Tom's in-depth view of Tunnel of Love, which I believe at least 65% of the time he claims is his favorite album.
Yes.
You've been working on.
I think just because of my mood, it would be Tunnel of Love and The Rising, but they're just so different that, you know, you.
Have you ever heard Born to Run or Darkness on the Edge of Town? your favorite song, your favorite album. I don't want anyone saying, oh, Fisherman dissed, because I don't diss any of the albums. But your favorite albums are Tunnel of Love.
Yeah.
And The Rising.
Yeah. And Letter to You.
None of which are in the first seven, the Holy Seven.
Yeah.
The original seven.
Well, I'll put it this way.
Most fans, I'm not going to speak for myself because I don't believe in better, best, or ranking. You know that. But most fans, they take their favorite album from the Holy Seven, the first seven, the seven that came out between 1974, 73, and 84, up through Born in the USA. And that is where things, for me, got fantastic. For you, obviously, got fantastic, but went in different directions, and everybody's got their opinion. The most fans, their favorite album, Born to Run, right? Darkness on the Edge of Town. The River, right? Born in the USA. Born in the USA. A few people, the avant-garde type people, say Greetings or Why on the Innocent. But that is going to encompass 90-some% of fans are going to pick one of those albums. But you, well, Thomas O'Donnell.
Those were my favorite albums. Those were my favorite albums when none of those others existed. So, you know, obviously. So... but since then, yeah, I mean, it's a testament to Bruce, because the fact that he could go from everything you just mentioned and then continue at some point to make an album so great that it matches the quality of these earlier albums. Not all of them, but, you know, when I talk about Letter to You, The Rising, Magic, you know, these the fact that he could still write, we know he's capable of writing it's such great quality like he did years ago, and sometimes a little better, you know. And then, but you know, and then those other, there's some in there that are mediocre at best, but for better than a lot of the crap you're going to hear on the radio. That's for sure. You know, no matter what.
And then Western Stars. You really have to sit down and give Western Stars.
You know what I do?
You send me links to unreleased stuff all the time, and I sit down and I give it time to listen to. You got to sit down and listen to Western Stars. I can't believe. And then once we get your real opinion after really listening to Western Stars a couple times with the lyric sheet, you know, reading it, listening to it, once you're able to come on the show and talk about your true opinion of Western Stars, then we're going to make you do the Soul Covers album.
Okay. Well, I will do the Western Stars thing. The thing I love about it is the fact that he wrote it, and that, you know, right there. A Soul Covers thing, that's just crap. And
that was your reward. When you get through Western Stars, your reward.
Oh, God. Because
you got to listen to the Soul Covers album.
But one of your fans, or maybe it was on one of our podcasts, in the comments, he was saying that Stones is this great song, and then he urged me to listen to it. So I went back. So I did. I listened to the entire song. I guess it was a little over 4 minutes or so, and it wasn't great.
Really, it was okay. I thought that would be right up your alley, Scott. You don't like, you know, I don't. You don't like to be reminded that certain people in our lives can be liars, and that's why you don't like Don't Play That Song.
Well, especially theme. I don't like that album because he didn't write it, and these are songs that he should never have covered, and maybe as a hobby, but not, don't release it and call it an album and then try to sing them in concert. I mean, nobody wants to hear that crap. You know, people are running to the bathrooms when that shit comes on. Nobody,
Stones is the one where he's like the lies you told me, right? Something with the lies you told me.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. You know, yeah, something about waking up with rocks in his mouth or something. I don't know.
A song loses you on, that's your problem. That's your problem with Wrecking Ball. A song loses you on the opening line and then it never gets you back. Stones is an intense song about being lied to by someone you trust.
Well, I like that theme. I'll give the whole album another shot. I do. Yes. I've always said I love those two songs from that album, which is "There Goes My Miracle" and "Tucson Train," which I just mentioned. So
next week we're gonna start the first few songs of Tom's comprehensive look at Tunnel of Love, and we're gonna get his overall unbiased new review of Western Stars after he sits down and gives it a real chance, which I don't think he's ever really done. I think you judged it off, what was that song, Mr. Sunshine, Hello Sunshine? I think when they released Hello Sunshine a week before the album, you judged the album on that song and you never really gave the album a good listen.
Which, you know, it is I wanted to like it because I love The Ghost of Tom Joad. And I love Devils and Dust. You know, they're awesome. So I was hoping for something a little more similar. I don't know what it was about the Western Stars.
I know the Steve Van Zandt Tucson Train you're talking about that you've become really fond of, and it is great. Yeah. But the original, the Bruce original with the Western Stars band or orchestra or whatever they are, is pretty great. I mean, that album is, it's, I mean, I'm not saying put it on when you're trying to stay awake at night and rock out. I'm saying, you know, it's a great Sunday afternoon, you know, the volume at medium level, very relaxing album. It's the music is gorgeous and the lyrics are great. And Bruce always sounds great. That album sucks me right in whenever I listen to it. My daughter took to that album. I took her to see the movie and she took to that album right away, right after we saw the movies. And when it came out on video, she got herself a whatever download.
Well, yeah, I'm very surprised Tucson Train has never made it into the set because I did see it live on that, what you call a movie. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah, so. He's starting to play signs, but I'm never bringing one. I'm not a sign guy. You know what the new thing is on a sign? Please, what? Bruce, can I have your harmonica? I really want your harmonica. That. This is why I'm the most important person to give the harmonica to. I've been seeing, and then stats, whatever, how many shows. It happened very recently. Somebody with a harmonica sign up front got a harmonica. And then there's been other harmonica signs, you know, because people can't just let the one person get away with it. They got to copycat it. Now there's all these, going to be all these harmonica signs. Don't bring a sign that says, please give me your harmonica.
You're people. Right. I mean, it's ridiculous. Apparently, that fan, it really made her day that she got that harmonica.
Sure
they want to get their hands on anything that's been stuck in Bruce's mouth, apparently. So it's really weird.
I would take a harmonica. Dude, if he handed me a harmonica, it'd be the greatest moment of my life. But I would never beg for one with a fucking sign. That is pathetic.
That is sad. And if he would just do it like Richard Dawson from Family Feud used to do and just kiss all the women in the audience in the front row, then he wouldn't have to worry about any of this. Or like, you know, Elvis used to do that. He would lean down and kiss each girl.
Yeah. I don't know that Bruce has ever kissed each girl, but he's done some lip locking with audience members. It's been a long time, but there is video evidence that he wasn't against a little smooch with an audience member back in the day. Times have changed. He's married man, and things are pathogens, and he's certainly at more risk than he ever was before.
He's got to bring back the kissing sessions.
I don't think he's going to bring back. I don't even know what that is. What is a kissing session?
I don't know. I mean, I know you had one at that one concert.
All right. That's a story for another time. If I've told it, you'll have to dig it out yourself. Shea Stadium, October 4, 2003. Okay. We got time for a little hurdle. I don't even know what time it is. Oh, my God. We've gone long. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a couple, but if they're stone cold easy, then they're just gonna be stone cold easy. All right.
Okay.
All right, Tom. We got time for a couple of quick Springsteen hurdles. Hopefully, they'll be really easy. Here is round one.
Over the Rise.
It is not Over the
Rise.
I'm
sorry. I meant to say Gloria's Eyes.
Do you want, you get a free clue before I type in Gloria's Eyes. You want to hear it or do you want to just guess it now?
I would go with Gloria's Eyes. I may be
you
wrong.
You know what's funny was my first thought was Gloria's Eyes.
Yeah, I don't know why I started singing the wrong lyrics to myself and picked that other one.
It was Gloria's Eyes. And I would have got that. I was thinking Gloria's Eyes myself.
Wow, that's a rare one. Surprised
that
you
is
got
a rare
that.
One. Me too. I'm surprised I got it too. I love those albums when they came out. The stuff that didn't get played live a lot, I don't know as well, but I heard those albums a lot when they first came out.
On a side note, an article got released today of all Bruce's albums ranked. They do this all the time, as you know.
Yeah, I hate
and
that.
The worst one was Human Touch. It's like, really? They even listed the soul covers somewhere towards like the best, and it was just so bad. I didn't even want to look at it. I know I'm going to disagree with it completely. I mean, they got Seeger Sessions in there, and you're putting Human Touch as the worst album.
But no matter what they say, that's why I hate those things. There is no worst album. Worst album.
Well, I could name one, but yeah.
I know, you've got your prejudices.
But you know, it would be an album that Bruce did not write, so.
All right, folks, let's see. I got a new round ready to go. Springsteen Hurdle, new round. Here we go.
It's clap.
Someone needs a man of her own.
You got it.
Who, though? I don't know who. Janie?
No, it's, you mean the name of the song?
Needs a man of her own. Somebody needs a man of her own. Who? I don't know her name.
Oh, man, that, why is it not? I can't even think of it. Something, yeah. A man of her own.
Oh, it's a good man is hard to find, right?
Yeah, on tracks.
That's cloudy out in Pittsburgh. It's raining. In-
All right.
Well, you got it before me again. I was going through it in my head, and I would have got to it eventually, I think. But
sometimes I got to show off.
Yeah, you're definitely showing off today.
All right, here we go. Round three, Springsteen Hurdle.
Oh, jeez.
Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Yeah. You suck. You know, this is this is. I thought this was supposed to make me look halfway intelligent. This is my time to shine at the end of the show. It's not happening.
That wasn't that easy. It took me a second. It's like, you know, you listen to it live and it sounds a lot different than that opening bass line. Darkness on the Edge of Time. I think that's three for me and none for Tom, but that's okay. It usually goes the other way.
Any chance of editing this completely out?
But one day I get them all. Very little chance. All right. I'm really showing what I can do this week. Here we go. Springsteen Hurdle, round four.
The Super Bowl?
What? No, it's the Long Way Home, right? Long Way Home?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No. I thought it was Queen of the Supermarket, but I mean, that's like your favorite song. You would know better than me.
Wow. You got it. You got it. Song, on one note.
The one song you should have got.
One note wonder.
That was not on your list of songs you think he should play this tour.
I cut my list when I realized I was just going to list every song that he hasn't played.
That was ridiculous. You're like, okay, now to the Nebraska album.
Right. Yeah. I want them all. All right, we're going to call this the tiebreaker. Here we go, round five.
Racing in the Street.
I think we're going to need another clue. Unless it's East Street Shuffle. Had that twice come up, and both times there's no sound in the first clip. Oh. That's Radio Nowhere.
Yeah.
Ah, I kicked your ass today, Tom. All right. I think that's good.
That'd be a good one to bring back.
Radio Nowhere. All right. Add that to Tom's list of 11 songs he wants to bring back. And you can add it to my list of every song he hasn't played, which there's not a song. Mary Queen of Arkansas. I hasn't played that. That would be my sign. If I was willing to bring a sign for requests, if I was willing to bring a sign, I'd bring a sign that says, please, can I have your harmonica? Give me a guitar. Can I have a fucking guitar? If I was willing to bring a request sign, it would be Mary Queen of Arkansas.
Nobody in the world would ever have that sign. That would be so funny. There's a chance you might get jumped outside the venue.
If I brought Mary Queen of Arkansas, or please give me your guitar.
Please give me your guitar.
Bruce, awesome. I've been to 108 shows, and I just want your guitar. Her said my badass mom My badass mom wants a guitar or wants a harmonica or something. And I'm like, there's nothing badass about begging for a harmonica with a sign.
What about a sign that says, I want Steve Van Zandt's do-rag, whatever that thing is. Is that possible?
Yeah, right off his head.
Bruce just goes up there and grabs it right off his head.
From now on, I wasn't going to go to any more shows, but now I'm going to go to the rest of the shows with a sign. I'm going to get in the pit. I'm going to pay for pit tickets. I'm going to hold up a sign, a giant sign that says, can I please, I've been to show fans since 84. Can I have a guitar? All right, Tom, is there anything you want to say before we sign off?
This is the fourth leg of the tour, and it ends very soon. We've only got a couple of shows left. It ends April 21st in Ohio. So the next leg of the tour is going to be starting May 5th in Cardiff. So
Bruce loves Europe, and Europe loves Bruce, but you know what? What's the difference? I'm not going any more shows. We're watching from home. So what's the difference where he plays? The audience, let him go. American
and
audiences.
Also, with this news of the movie, there's maybe a better chance we will see some kind of Nebraska/Born in the USA box set released. Because
is that purely your speculation?
Yes.
Okay. The World's Greatest Springsteen podcast does not endorse Tom's wild speculations.
It's true.
All right. So that's it for this week's World's Greatest Springsteen podcast. For Tom and me, Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price, the World's Greatest Springsteen podcast loves you.